91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today we begin with news on a regional environmental front. Buildings, particularly office buildings, that waste oodles of energy and money. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. The carbon emission figures incurred by wasteful buildings are staggering. With the City Energy Project, Miami-Dade residents and businesses could recoup some $200 million annually. More on that in minutes. Part two is Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining. Today it's a visit by Grace Della, the founder of Miami Culinary Tours. Perhaps you fancy the cuisines of Wynwood, South Beach, or Little Havana. A tour can be made to suit your needs. So stay tuned. Topical Currents up next, after news. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Buildings are the single largest user of energy and sources of carbon pollution in the U.S. They're filled with inefficient systems and operations. So today we learn more about Miami-Dade's incorporation of the renowned City Energy Project.
19 cities and one county, happens to be Miami-Dade, in the U.S. have banded together to reduce emissions by millions of tons each year. With us now is Miami-Dade Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava, who sponsored a resolution which passed to align the county with the City Energy Project Initiative. Welcome back, Daniela Levine-Cava.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Also here from Miami-Dade's County Office of Resilience, formerly Sustainability, is Susanna Troner. She works on a wide range of issues, including fleet fuels, energy efficiency, and renewable energy. Welcome to you, Susanna Troner.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you. So let's start with you, Susanna. First, let's get an overview of the City Energy Project, CEP, what it is and how it's working and how these 20 entities got together.
Okay, well, I'm really excited to be here and talk about it. It's a fabulous program that we learned about, actually, through the City of Orlando, who is also participating. It's a national effort. We are trying to improve the health and the wealth of our communities by focusing on water and energy efficiency in large private and public sector buildings in our community. And we can talk a little bit more later probably about how we do that. But I just wanted to note it's funded by the Bloomberg Philanthropies, the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, and the Kresge Foundation. And it is being run or administered by two fabulous nonprofits, the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Institute for Market Transformation.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I just follow up? So just how is this determination made as to how much funding a certain city or county receives and how it's allocated to the buildings? How does it work?
Well, the administrators decide on the funding aspect of it. How it works is we kind of are learning from each other. It's a network of these 20 communities. We're learning from each other. The two nonprofits, Institute for Market Transformation and Natural Resources Defense Council, have done an incredible amount of research looking at best practices in different communities, trying to figure out which strategies are the best. And they're offering that knowledge base to us and providing mentoring. And the communities are working together, trying to see what would work best in their community. And the one thing that I really like about the project is that it's not a one solution fits all. There are so many strategies out there, and each community is different. So we have to have different strategies to approach this problem.
And Commissioner Levine-Cava, how do you hope this will turn things around as far as carbon emissions?
Thank you, Joe, for the question. This is a voluntary project that involves businesses partnering with government. So we're trying to create a public awareness and a tipping point. This is a major source of carbon. The way to get to businesses is to help show them how they can save money while doing something good for the environment. So I'm very, very hopeful. You know, I learned about this program the summer of 2015, when I went to the U.S.-China Climate Summit with Mayor Jimenez, it was a no-brainer for me. The minute I heard about it, I said, this is something that we really need in Miami-Dade County.
Well, how did you get it from the rest of all cities? how did you get the county involved?
Well, you know, our county government is the stronger unit of government. It represents more people. It has the Office of Resilience. Of course, now the cities of Miami and Miami Beach are very active in this area, but we affect a larger jurisdiction. So, and the mayor has been a leader in attending the U.S. Climate Summit, U.S.-China Climate Summit. And so, you know, as much as we can do that is broad, after all, we're part of the Rockefeller 100 Resilient Cities Initiative, which is also for the county and includes all of our cities as well.
Susanna Troner, which kinds of building have the worst emissions or use the most energy needlessly?
Well, you can't really say a blanket type of building, but generally the larger buildings are the ones that consume the most energy and water. And if you don't mind, I just wanted to take one little step back so that people understand why buildings are associated with air pollution. It's because when you are trying to use electricity and use water in your building, it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from a water plant or it's coming from an electrical plant somewhere down the line. And they are using fuels. They're burning fuels in order to push the electricity and the water out to the buildings. And when you burn fuel, you generate air pollution. And so that's the connection.
I have so many questions about this. So if a business is listening right now and mm-hmm. wants to be part of this, where are things and how do they get involved?
Are there assessments made?
Well, they can call our office, so I'll give the phone number now. It's 305-375-5593.
Say it again.
305-375-5593. We also have it on our website, a little blurb about it.
Your website is?
MiamiDade.gov/green.
Okay.
But probably calling the office is better at this point in time. One of the things that we're working on right now is trying to assemble a list of contacts, because one of the primary things we're going to be focusing on is doing a lot of stakeholder engagement, meeting with the community, trying to see which strategies resonate with them best, see if they have any ideas themselves.
So, Commissioner Kawa, just to make certain again, there's no taxpayer involvement in this program.
We're serving a facilitation role at the County Office of Resilience, and the idea is that this is an entrepreneurial approach for businesses where they can do the audit, they can see what adjustments they could make. Once they realize there's savings to be gained, then they're all on board. And we have many businesses that are quite aware of green standards and the need to reduce carbon emissions. So we have green buildings, the LEED certification process, and so on.
Right.
The hotel and hospitality industry is interested. The architects are interested. So we have a real opportunity here to help to coordinate all of that.
Well, what's the downside? I mean, why wouldn't a business want to do this? They're going to save energy. They're going to save money
right.
in the long term. They're going
right.
to save the planet in the long term. Hopefully, you know, give some attention to ground zero for sea level rise and climate change here in South Florida. So is there any initial outlay of money on their part?
No, it's...
It's funded.
Right? Yeah, the thing is that... there are many no-cost or low-cost solutions that building owners and operators can implement in their buildings to help with these reductions right now. Why aren't they doing it? I think a lot of times it has to do with it's not really being tracked. So that's one of the things that we're going to focus on, trying to educate building owners and building operators how to track their electricity consumption and their water consumption, because you can't really manage something if you're not tracking it. So that's an important component of the program.
You know, I see that you say it's not one size fits all here, and every
right.
city is different. Obviously, we have different needs than Chicago or Boston.
Right. We're not heating our buildings.
Right.
not a lot of manufacturing.
And not
right.
manufacturing.
Right. But we still have very large buildings. And so
we have high energy expenses in air conditioning.
Yeah. Right. Of course.
Right. And, you know, we're using water as well for the production of energy.
Right.
To cool the cooling canals and so on. So we have a tremendous use of water that we want to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for the environment as well as the reduction.
Right.
From our vantage point here at the studio, we're just north of downtown. If you just look around, there's just an amazing number of high-rise constructions now. But these buildings are all new, mm-hmm. so they must have been built with cutting-edge green technology. Is that the case?
No, it's not necessarily the case. And our government, Miami-Dade County, has a policy that when we are building a new building, it has to be designed and built according to certain standards that promote efficiency, green design, and whatnot. But that is not the standard in the community. There are obviously people who do that, but not all buildings are being built in that way. We do have very good, at the moment, we do have very good energy code. We follow the Florida Energy Code, and it's quite robust, so that does help. But still, we could make a huge difference, and I think that the federal government has estimated that there's at least a 30% inefficiencies average in the building industry in terms of water and electricity.
Let's say Broward County wants to sign on to this. Can this is a coalition of just 20 areas now. Is anyone else allowed to get in on this?
Well, we work very closely with Broward, Monroe, and Palm Beach counties because we're all part of the Southeast Florida Regional Climate Change Compact. So we will definitely be sharing strategies with them. And of course, that's all open information. But I don't think that they're going to be officially part of the City Energy Project program. But definitely, City Energy Project is very interested, was very interested in partnering with us because they knew that we had this leadership compact where we're working with all of these other communities. So that was something I think they considered.
So right now, our listeners, if they work in a big building mm-hmm. or they work in, you know, in a high-rise office building, do they go to their head of their company and tell them about this? Do they go to the owner of the build? I mean, who do they go to?
Well, I would love it if they would call our office.
And you'll tell them.
and we can work with them because we are trying to get a hold of the contact information for different businesses, building owners and operators, and that's a little bit hard to do so. Okay. So we're trying to compile a contact list so we can start to do that outreach. So we would welcome if people would call us if they're interested in helping us to tell their building owners, hey, you know, I would like to benefit from energy and water efficiency in my building. I'd like to see my utility bills go down too. So it can benefit everyone, not only the building owner, but also the tenants, whether it's an office building or a residential
building. Even a condo.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're speaking about the Miami-Dade County's participation in the City Energy Project with Miami-Dade Commissioner and Attorney Daniela Levine-Cava and Susanna Troner. She's from the Miami-Dade County Office of Resilience, formerly known as the Office of Sustainability. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Commissioner, Miami-Dade County Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava, and also Susanna Troner of the Miami-Dade County's Office of Resilience. We're talking about the City Energy Project, which Miami-Dade County is now part of. If you'd like to join in with a comment or question, that's easy enough. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Or email. That's radio@wlrn.org.
And we want to introduce right now the Director of Physician Relations and Business Development for Baptist Hospital in West Kendall. His name is Jason Bell. Welcome to you, Jason. Thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So what is being done at Baptist Hospital to go green? What are you doing out there that's so momentous?
He's running around turning out the lights.
So that's definitely part of it. But really interestingly, the commitment to sustainability by Baptist Health for our new West Kendall Baptist Hospital campus actually started a few years before the facility even opened, when we realized that tens of thousands of people were going east in the community and driving east in order to seek health care. And as you might imagine, sometimes, especially with emergencies, an extra 20 minutes stuck in Kendall traffic can have some serious health implications. So in 2011, we made a $220 million commitment to the community to open our West Kendall Baptist Hospital facility. which at the time was only the second gold LEED hospital certified by the U.S. Green Building Council. So we really started with a foundation of sustainability. And over the last few years, we've really built on that. Our CEO, Mr. Hernandez-Lichtel, believed he wanted to take these learnings of having a highly efficient, highly sustainable building and really bring that to the community so that both our community members and our local businesses could learn from us and implement some of our, not just our procedural sustainability initiatives, but also bringing education about the environment in general to them. And so that's what we've been doing with our Green Today, Here Tomorrow partnership, of which Susanna and the Office of Resilience are proud members of.
What's one of the cool things you're doing there?
You know, we get to do cool things every month, essentially. One of the recent ones that we did, we just took a tour for our green team to Feeding South Florida, which is a local food bank, to understand what are the food needs in the community and how we can make those food gaps disappear or significantly less. Later on in September, we're hosting an event called Water Ventures, which is going to be attended by several of the local elementary schools so that they have an understanding of where their water comes from, all the way from when it falls from the clouds to when it ends up in their tap, so they can get an appreciation for that.
I meant more, more in the energy savings vein at the hospital.
Yeah, so from an energy savings perspective, I think it's really important to reflect back on what Susanna mentioned before, which is different kinds of fuel are used to move air, water, and electricity around any given facility. So whatever we can do in order to be able to minimize consumption or make those processes more efficient ends up really reducing the pollution associated with those. When it comes to water use, for example, the way that this facility was designed is that whenever water falls anywhere on our campus, because of the grading, it falls into two retention ponds. That retention pond then serves as the reservoir to actually water the entire campus. So we don't use any net new water in order to be able to water all of our large green space. In fact, we use about 20% less water than a facility of our like size.
So, Commissioner, let's talk about we're hearing what they're doing about water and how they're using water and saving water, but you wanted to talk about the carbon emissions. I think most of us know the pitfall of carbon emissions, but let's talk about what the problem is with carbon pollution.
Right. So we have a changing climate. We have the seas heating up. We have the melting of the ice caps. We have sea level rise. And this is all linked back to carbon production. So our county has been a leader in the field for many years. We, 2 years ago, produced a Greenprint sustainability plan. It was one of the top plans in the state. And we've been dedicated to this by setting very aggressive goals to reduce our carbon emissions by 80% by 2050. Mm-hmm. So we can't do that only by patrolling our own county buildings. We have to engage the population. So this method of bringing in private landowners, private building managers to tap one of the highest rates. So why is it important to do that? So even though we are, the temperature is rising, we still have an opportunity to turn the tide by allowing the temperature to not rise as quickly. This is part of our national commitment, our international commitment, and here in Miami-Dade County, this is what we're doing to help make it happen.
Let's take a phone call or two. We've got Carla in Miami. You're up. Hi. Carla, go ahead.
Hi. This is Carla Ating. I have, actually, there are two parts to my question. The first one is, how does the Energy City Project fit in with the Rockefeller Foundation 100 Cities Challenge and Resilience Strategy that the City of Miami Beach, the county...
Carla, your call is very soft. Could you speak up a little bit? There we go.
Okay. But we can answer that, right?
Yeah, I can. Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it fits in perfectly because as part of the 100 Resilient Cities program, it is focusing on stresses and shocks such as sea level rise and poverty. And so, as Commissioner Cava mentioned, we're directly trying to reduce climate pollution that is causing sea level rise. And also, this program is going to help the economy and introduce jobs that cannot be outsourced. So if you don't mind, I just want to talk
a little
bit. Let's
talk about the economic benefits.
Yeah. So when we were initially applying for the program, we did some analysis, and we found that we projected about $200 million a year in savings that would be created from the different strategies that we implemented. Not only that, the federal government did a study in which they found that if you invest $1 in these types of efficiency programs, the net benefit to the community is $2.23. So it's a big impact. And then there was another study done because the city of New York has implemented a lot of these types of efficiency programs, and they have created 3,000 jobs in association with these programs. So this is a big kind of a focus of Mayor Jimenez. He wants to focus on economic growth and high-skilled jobs, and so this just perfectly aligns with that.
Well, let's ask, I don't know if you know this, Jason Bell, do you know what savings you've already been able to have at Baptist Hospital in West Kendall because of using these initiatives?
Well, we do know from our water consumption, like I mentioned, it's about 20% lower than a comparable hospital our size. We have the advantage of this new facility being built efficient, being built sustainable. So really our focus ends up being on how do we maintain that and share that information with other like facilities. In fact, we have the pleasure of chairing the Florida Hospital Association's Sustainability Collaborative. And what that group has done is begun to establish energy use benchmarks for hospitals across the state of Florida, something that didn't exist before.
Jason, what's the biggest draw in the average hospital? Is it equipment or air conditioning?
So as with most non-industrial buildings, it's typically your electric use and specifically your cooling use is typically what drives the most consumption. So cooling and heating, depending on what kind
of system you have. So where are you taking steps to save money on air conditioning?
So one of the great things that we do is all of the flat surfaces within the facility have a special reflective coating painted onto them to reduce the heat absorption. All of our windows have a dual pane, so although we allow in a lot of great natural light and healing light, we don't bring in that extra heat. And all of our bulbs are transitioned to LED bulbs, again, to use less energy as we power them throughout the day.
Hmm. And some other things, those are not things that everyone can, you know, incorporate into their buildings, but there are some very no-cost.
Well, reflecting sun on the exterior certainly is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there are other no-cost or low-cost techniques that people can use.
Such as?
So one is just some companies who are in a building, they can have a system that allows their computers to go into sleep mode. And that can actually save up to $50 a year per computer. So that's one efficiency measure.
And just turning off lights at night.
Yeah, focusing on...
You see so many office buildings are lit up tremendously.
Right, and focusing on lighting updates. So, for example, in 2012, our Parks Department did some lighting retrofits, and they just installed high-efficiency bulbs, which are not that expensive, and they're saving over almost $9,000 a year. So just some really low-cost, no-cost types of techniques can be used. Behavioral changes like you were talking about, turning off the lights, it's a huge thing. And people just sometimes need to be, refocused on that, like Commissioner Cava said.
When they're not paying for it personally, it's like, so what if the light stays on all night?
Right. But the thing is that they are in a way, because if their business can save money on energy efficiency and water efficiency, then maybe their job won't get cut or they'll be able to get additional help with, so it does make a difference. You can use those savings to reinvest in something else. And wouldn't everyone like to do that?
Is your position in the resilience office now created just to deal with this program?
No, but there is a position that we are hiring that will be focusing only on this program, but it's not my position. I'll be working very closely with that person, though.
Okay.
We hope to be hiring them very soon.
Okay. Well, I just want to give out, again, we'll have this on our website. It's 305-375-5593. If you want to convince your building to make that call and get interested in this city energy project, it's miamidade.gov/green/build-green. We'll have all that on our website. We want to thank Miami-Dade Commissioner and Attorney Danielle Levine-Cava. She represents District 8. Thank you for being with us again.
Great. And we hope that a lot of businesses out there will take us up on this and pass the word. Tell others.
Tell others. And Susanna Troners from the Miami-Dade County Office of Resilience, we thank you both very much. And good luck with the project and for all the good stuff you're doing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jason Bell.